Hello, and welcome to Finding My Marbles, a podcast detailing the personal healing journey from mental illness to mental wellness. My name is Zachary Steierwald, and I'm your host. This podcast is presented as a monologue and is a space to hear lived experience of the intersection of mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Through balancing these three dimensions of wellness, I've begun to cultivate more inner peace in day-to-day life, and I'm here to share this exploration with you. If you're working with mental illness yourself, diagnosed or not, or have a loved one with a similar life path, you've come to the right place. You are not alone on this journey. Welcome to episode one. It's time for me to take a deep breath. Long time coming. Glad to be here. So I was having a conversation with a friend this morning, and it was specifically centered around being triggered and choosing for that trigger to not be personal. So for me, I've noticed that it is so easy to get identified with a position or a stance on an issue, or to think that we need to defend ourselves when something happens, when in actuality there is potential to use these triggers as an opportunity to see where the wound is and give that wound some tender, loving care. So, why is it that we need to do this? What is it that we should not be offended about? And like, excuse me? So, it's like if I am offended that my parking spot outside is gone and I have to park two blocks away, we're looking at this opportunity for me to say, ooh, I'm offended, I'm hurt. How can I use this feeling of being frustrated, of the running amok in the head, the anxiety, the worry, the stress? How can I use this to my best advantage and potentially even a healing moment? For me, it's being able to notice when those points in time arise and then taking the time to really offer it space to voice itself fully, to be fully vocalized. So this could be journaling, this could be, you know, being able to have a dialogue. There's the Gestalt method where you have two chairs set up in a room and you talk to yourself going back and forth between the chairs. For me specifically, the process is meditation. So, you know, currently my process includes 30 minutes to 3 hours a day. And I sit there and I just watch what happens inside. Watching what happens inside can consist of, you know, me finding peace, or it can be more of a process of watching the anger, the frustration, and the anxiety, the sadness, the hope, feeling the body and the constrictions that it may have, or really just whatever internal process may be present. So in terms of being triggered and being with a trigger to the point of understanding or recognizing what it's there for, or how to heal that part, or why it's important to not be offended, I feel like the process is very specific to an individual as to how you come up with those insights for yourself, but it's always giving that trigger space. So while I sit on my cushion, and honestly, I don't even sit on a cushion, I sit in a chair with my feet planted firmly on the floor, and I find the part of myself that's hurt, finding the part of myself that's offended. And it can start mentally, watching the thoughts run amok, and then it can be in the body and feeling the body be hurt. And then eventually just being able to find how I can orchestrate space in a way that allows that hurt piece to not be so contracted, but to have a little bit of space around it. And it doesn't have to be a ton, but enough space for that feeling or part to let go just a little bit. It's like we use so much of our energy to hold on to stories, to hold on to people, places, things, ideas, to think that they're ours. And it's that identity or attachment process that really requires so much energy from us to be sustainable. So when we're talking about healing or holding space for ourselves or releasing the anger, tension, attachment that we have to certain things, it's not an instant process. You know, sometimes I can sit in meditation literally for the full 3 hours and be holding one specific part of myself and it never releases. So noticing that this isn't an instantaneous thing. It is a process and a practice that requires patience. For example, let's say I have a pain in my shoulder. So I've had some pretty difficult pains in the shoulder recently. And instead of having a thought that starts the train, my mind is somewhat calm, but I notice that there's pain. So I go into the body, I find relaxation. And there are different ways to find this relaxation, but generally speaking, finding relaxation and noticing the pain and being able to focus on the pain so intently that it's a process of understanding the judgment of the pain. Am I judging the pain as good? Am I judging the pain as bad? Usually pain is quote unquote bad. So is that judgment of the pain holding me away from experiencing the pain fully? Usually that's a yes. And how can I offer space for the judgment of the pain so that the judgment of the pain can allow space for the pain to be the pain? So we start to get a little meta with this, which is really cool. And as we begin that process of zooming out is when we really notice that, oh, well, the judgment's that way because it's always been that way. It thinks that there's a right and wrong way to be and a right and wrong way to live. And, you know, if somebody isn't right and wrong, then I have no stance to hold in my life. And therefore, nothing is ever wrong, but nothing is ever right. So it's easy to get lost in these trains of thought too. So coming back to being with the pain and then noticing the judgment and then holding space for both allows us to feel the pain more intently. And I'm not saying intensely with an S, it's intensely with a T. I want to be very intent with how I feel things. And the reason for that is because I believe that what happens in the body is here to teach me. So if I feel this pain in my shoulder and I want to intently feel it, then I do want to feel the intensity of the pain, to be with the pain to its extreme. The pain is there anyways. Whether we've been avoiding it or not, it's there. So instead of distracting ourselves or pulling ourselves away from the pain, it's saying, hi, I wanna see what you are. This isn't a wild goose chase. There is an end result that brings insight and clarity and peace. So it's not like, oh my God, he's talking about experiencing the worst of life and there's never any, you know, good stuff. It's actually being able to expand the ability and threshold for ourselves to feel from, oh, well, the good and bad was like this far apart to, oh, wow, now I feel much better and I feel I have the ability to feel pain more intently. And it begins to not affect us as much because we have a new relationship with it. We're not judging it as bad. It's just another experience within the entire spectrum of experience. So tying this back to being triggered, the triggers that we find ourselves activated in within life are usually the things that we have a wound around where we actually have pain associated and we're trying to defend why that pain is present. Whether it be emotional, physical, or mental pain, it's all there and we make up stories as to why we need to defend ourselves. But being able to specifically see pain as a teacher. I believe it was a quote by Rumi that says, the pain or the wound is where the light comes in. It's noticing that these pain points in the body, mind, thoughts, emotions, feelings, are where the light can come in. So giving myself the ability to explore the pain in the body, giving myself the ability to explore the pain in the thoughts is something else too. If I'm sitting and I notice that my thoughts are running amok, you know, it's like I was downstairs and grabbing a cup of water and I was frustrated because my favorite spoon was missing. and it was in the dishwasher and I had put it in 2 days ago and forgot to press start. You know, it's like I can run amok in my chair being frustrated at the spoon or myself or making a story as to somebody else's responsibility for not starting the dishwasher. These stories that we tell ourselves are explorable. And by explorable, I mean we have the opportunity, just like in the shoulder example, we have the opportunity to offer it space. In the mind, we also have the ability to offer our thoughts space so that they can have their own experience. It's an opportunity for us to not get involved as much, to truly allow the thoughts to come and go without us thinking something different. So instead of judging the thoughts as wrong, we actually notice that the thoughts are there, and we notice that the judgment is there of the thoughts, and we allow the judgment to be, and we allow the thoughts to be, and then we continue that zoom out to offer the space to the thoughts and to the judgment as they both simultaneously happen, and allow the thoughts to think themselves. I know this isn't necessarily something that logic can provide detail around, so it does take practice. It's like when I'm sitting and I'm like, oh God, I really just want to drop in a peace. Like, this is so frustrating. I really just want to be at peace today. I want to find my Zen. I don't want to be in this place where I'm fighting myself. How the hell am I supposed to let this happen? That is the key. What am I supposed to do here? And for me, it's an opportunity to just let go of the need to control. Letting go of the need to control looks like me allowing myself to be myself. And by being myself, I'm offering myself the opportunity to be full, to be fully me, to be fully present. So when these thoughts come of, oh, I'm so mad. I'm mad at my roommate. I'm mad at my dog. I'm mad at the neighbor for playing loud music, whatever it may be. It's the opportunity to let those thoughts play out. Each of the thoughts can potentially be a voice. And that voice just wants to express itself to the fullest. It's not going to last forever. What does? It's more of letting the thought of, oh, I'm so mad at my roommate. Why is he playing music at 2 a.m.? I really wish he would stop. And then letting that fizzle without engaging, whatever the thoughts that come, maybe it dovetails off into some other conversation. Maybe it continues. Oh, well, he did the same thing yesterday, and it's just so frustrating, and I really just wish it would stop because I want to be able to sleep, or I want to be able to read my book without being disrupted. It's like nothing is ever going right in my life. How is it that I'm supposed to be able to function? I can't stand this. I hate it. This is horrible. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to move across the country? Maybe I should just go knock on his door and yell at him. And really just like letting all of these thoughts come to the forefront of our mind and be experienced to the fullest. So who knows how long this process will last. Sometimes for me, it's sitting in meditation for 2 minutes and just listening to the thoughts run amok. Sometimes it can take longer. Sometimes I have to play out like 17 different stories before I feel more calm and grounded. And there's no right or wrong way here. Like, it's literally just experimentation with what this connection between the mind, body, spirit is. The mental, emotional, and spiritual health. And when I say spiritual health, guys, like, this is a connection with you and whatever you want to call it. Like, it's not for me to decide. I have words that I use, but, you know, whatever I end up using, feel free to tailor it to your own. But for me, it's really understanding what the energetic nature is of thoughts and being able to notice that if I'm triggered by something, there's an energetic tie that wants to be released. And the only way that I can release that is to allow the energetic expression to fully express itself. So if I have that thought, I'm allowing that thought to tell me its entire story. If I have the feeling, I'm allowing the feeling to feel its entire feeling and being able to watch that happen. Providing space for our emotions is kind of the same way, or at least in my experience. If I'm feeling angry, upset, sad, bitter, disgusted, happy, joyful, the emotion is here to be felt. So how is it that I can notice that those feelings, emotions, triggers are happening, and how can I feel them to the intensity that they need to be felt at so that they can have their own high and have their own low and then become what they're supposed to after the fact. It's like, how can I not engage with this in a way that is productive and conducive to the fullness, the closure that my body mind system needs? So really taking a different approach to healing, for me, it has been the discovery over time of what are emotions? What are these feelings in my body? Why do I feel them? What are these thoughts? Why are these thoughts channeled into what we call mental illness? Why do I feel emotions so intensely? You know, it's like there's this exploration. And I invite anybody that has the interest in listening to kind of have this self-exploration journey with this, this experimentation process of what is it like to actually question these things? What is it like to explore from the perspective of an experiment? To imagine ourselves back in chemistry class in like high school and begin to fill the beaker up with a certain type of liquid and then add a powder to it and see what happens. That's kind of what this entire meditation journey is. Taking the time to watch what happens and then to ask questions that provide an opportunity to learn through observation. So I didn't look it up before, but we're talking about the experimental method where we have a hypothesis and then we experiment and then we come up with a conclusion. And it's not so much about the hypothesis. I think that can be important, but it's more about the observation of what's happening and then noticing what variables changed and how they changed. And then what types of effects we had when those variables changed. For instance, I'm driving my car and the person in front of me is driving really, really slow. And when I lived across the country, I had some major road rage. So the person in front of me is driving slow. I notice that I'm angry. I'm starting to make stories. I think about what I can do. Do I want to ride their tail? Do I actually want to honk my horn? Do I want to turn on my flashers? Do I want to like speed around them? There's all of these ways that I can think about engaging. And the opportunity to have an experiment in this instance would be to say, oh, well, what's happening? What's really happening inside right now? I'm angry. Okay. Is it thoughts, feelings, emotions? Is it all three? Okay. It's all three. Cool. What do I want to experiment with today? Do I want to give myself the space to feel? Do I want to watch the thoughts? Do I want to see if I can potentially resource somewhere else? And I will talk about resourcing in a future podcast. Do I want to feel the fullness of the anger? So like even while I'm driving, what body part can I focus on that will allow the anger to be felt without us having to act on it? So there are a lot of opportunities here to really invite the introspective process to be experimental, to be exploratorial, the exploration of the inner space instead of the outer space. Kind of corny, I get it, but the inner space is such this tangible and delectable almost place to be and to feel and to experience. It's like when I close my eyes, I have no clue what's going to happen. And I can have that space to myself, whatever it looks like for you, however long a day it looks like, to really understand what the body is telling me. You know, we talk about the book, The Body Keeps the Score, but how many of us actually take the time to begin to understand that relationship with ourselves, with our cells even, to begin to see that the cells in our body hold memories, and those memories are emotional pain, emotional happiness too, you know? And I can develop a relationship with my body that allows those memories to be released in ways that are respectable to my system. So if I am working with a memory from childhood where I was bullied on the playground, then I give myself the space to hold the intensity of that experience. And instead of the trauma continuing to impact me after the reliving of that experience, I now have the ability to have more energetic expenditure from the place that was holding on to that energy. So childhood trauma, when it is released, the body has more energy to be able to function, to do things. You know, oftentimes after a meditation, especially when it's more of an intense sit where I'm sitting with painful emotions, if the energy has been completely cleared, I will get up and clean the entire house. There is just a simple shift for me of, oh, I was in such pain. But then the opening and the flowering of that is, whoa, what do I want to do today? Because I have all of the energy in the world. It really is beginning this process, this dialogue with ourselves of understanding what the depth that we want to go to and how it is that we want to go there, and beginning these conversations with ourselves so that we can understand why it is that we hurt and how it is that we can allow the hurt to be felt so that we don't have to be hurt anymore. And while this podcast is called Finding My Marbles, I don't want to make this a podcast just about healing from mental illness. A lot of what I have learned in this meditative process is translatable across the human experience. It's being able to understand and see the experience that I have with my mental health, with my own thoughts, emotions, feelings, and noticing that this is how I can develop empathy and understand and relate with others as well. So it becomes this interpersonal development and exploration. It's no longer am I judging the person for having an experience that isn't in alignment with mine. It's allowing them to be and accepting their experience, because I've been in shit deeper. I've been in things that were worse, or I've been close to them in that experience, or I couldn't even imagine what that's like, because I would hope that I never have that experience in life. So beginning this self-applied psychological journey is really understanding that we are all living the perspective from behind our eyes, from in our mind. And we don't know what another person is experiencing. But once we begin to understand what our true inner experience is, we can relate. We can see somebody for their human form. We can see that somebody experiences the same types of experiences as us. Maybe more intense, maybe less intense. But we all have similar experiences in life. And ultimately, I like to call myself a humanitarian. Like if somebody's, you know, saying I'm conservative, I'm liberal, I say I'm a humanitarian, because ultimately it's all about us relating to other people and being able to see the humanness in each other. You know, once I pass, once any of us pass, we don't necessarily hold on to anything. We don't hold on to the connections or the affiliations with parties or any type of, you know, real connection or attachment that we have. It's more of this journey of how can I connect with my fellow humans on a deeper level? Because ultimately, if I'm able to touch somebody's life in a meaningful way, then that means the world to them after I've gone. So that's a wrap for this episode of Finding My Marbles. Thanks for tuning in. This podcast is all self-produced, so if you feel like supporting me in this endeavor, please find the podcast link in the show notes to make a donation. When I'm not spending time finding my marbles, I devote myself to assisting family members, both genetic and chosen, through their loved ones' experience with serious mental illness. If you'd like to learn more or are interested in working with me, please visit the website returnhome.us. I'm sending you so much love for whatever it is you're currently exploring, and I hope you're able to circle around again soon. Okay, love you, bye.